Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 328 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie. And today we have the one, the only, the brilliant, the beautiful, Lori Kim is with us. Woohoo!
Thank you for inviting me back.
Anytime.
Always.
Thank you for agreeing to return. Oh, man. I'm so excited to have you here. I feel like we've been talking about, like, what episodes do you want for Deathly Hallows? And, like, now we're at, like, another one of them. So it's such a fun moment for all of us.
I feel like it's been a while since I've gotten to see your face.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute, so it's good to see you. All right, kids. This episode is sponsored by Melissa Mara. Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa.
Oh, man. Okay, guys. So today we are going to be discussing part one of chapter 10 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Creature's Tale. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to tattle your way through the details. Get it? Ooh. Tattletale.
I enjoy.
Which is my real-time life job, basically, after lunch and recess.
Tattletale.
What's going on? What's the drama at recess? Because I'm always going to hear an earful.
They're too young to have drama.
No. Oh.
I'm just saying,
there's so much of it.
The drama gets worse, so, like,
you should ask your lovely, beautiful little niece Evie what her drama llama was today, because she's three and she had a lot of it.
Yeah,
there's a lot at three, man.
Drama.
Well,
yeah,
and I think most of her drama was probably me.
Yeah,
I was the problem for her.
No. You are.
She told me I couldn't crawl under the car like I wanted to.
Literally. Don't worry.
You know what? That's hard. Yeah. That's a hard day for a three-year-old.
I know.
So I will say to people who are not currently live with us, we are doing video.
We are.
Yay.
It's possible.
So I thought, in honor of this being the first video in a long time, we're going to do an original recap. It's time. This is also a Mickey Mouse Club shirt. This went with the whole Christmas theme. Oh my God. By the way, because this is an extra large and I like it.
I like it.
So, yeah, it's time.
Okay. Are you nervous?
A little. It's time
for the recap.
Beautiful. I love it.
Thank you.
So
that's
great.
Thank you.
I almost forgot to do my recap, so I'm glad.
I think it was a pretty easy one.
No Perfectly kidding.
Fits on R2.
Nice.
It does?
Yeah.
Aw. Okay, last episode was a whole Prophet News episode, so some highlights from that was we had updates on the Warner Brothers Studio Tour in London. Let's talk about that Chocolate Frog Cafe. I'd really
like
to go.
Oh my god,
I
want to go so bad.
It looks really pretty, and I want to eat all the chocolate. And also there was a bunch of new Epic Universe news, and I feel like even since then
there's so much
like
more
stuff come out.
See the Yoshi cars?
Yes, I was just gonna ask you that.
Oh my gosh, the Yoshi cars. Is that a coaster?
I don't know.
I don't think it's a coaster much as it's gonna be like kind of a slow.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in.
All I know is they're all different colors.
They're
and
beautiful.
I wanna ride them all. Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful. Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com. All right. Jinx, you owe me Coke.
Did you say that too?
All right.
I said, is that it?
Oh.
So what happens if you falsely jinx?
Nothing.
Penalty points. Don't lie.
No, nothing.
No, if you were on the other end of this, it would have been, I get a point because you misheard. that's well, true. You can't that's even true, say babe. Anything because you know it's true.
That's true.
You know it's true.
I'll let it been slide. Like, well, you owe me half a Coke. Anyway.
Did you see that?
Yeah, no, I saw it.
There's so many gifts already. I know it.
Okay,
I'm gonna cover
guys.
Up my hands, but.
Oh, well, Creature's Tale. If you would turn Ooh. In your original books, Family it's page podcast. 176. Anyways.
Your hymnal.
In your hymnal. I like to title this section of mine, Wakey Wakey, There's No Eggs in Bakey, which is very sad because...
I mean, I don't love it.
They need some breakfast.
Yeah, that's sad.
All right. So if you don't remember in the book, we're now at Grandma Place. Yay! I think the last thing...
They were falling asleep. They all made the decision to fall asleep in the drawing room together.
So cute.
That was where
that was
we ended.
Cute. Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Okay. So Harry wakes up early the next morning. It's before everybody else. He's in the drawing room. He's on the floor. A little bit of sky in view. Everything's quiet and calm. Quote. Nope. What?
I just like... Why the floor?
There must not have been anywhere else to sleep.
Like you
we
have,
would have dragged
how many
mattresses out.
I was Accio, literally just gonna Accio. Say
Wingardium
how
Levioso?
Many bedrooms are in this place. They all can perform magic. Why would you not have brought a mattress down?
I didn't even Maybe. Think about it, to be honest with you.
Stupid.
Maybe they used a cushioning charm.
You know they didn't. Hermione maybe did.
Well, she was allowed to
she
sleep
was
on
the cushions.
Cushions.
Well, she made it more cushiony.
Double cushion?
That's dumb.
Okay. I'm sorry.
One of my favorite things in the world, and I don't know why, we haven't done it since we've moved back to Cleveland, is to have a sleepover in the living room with your mattress. Like, you drag your mattress
Marty's
out.
Done that with Alana.
It's so much fun. I love it.
You can do that here. And let Marty and I go stay at a hotel somewhere. You can get the kids.
Okay. Oh, man. All right. So, quote, Ron had a fit of gallantry and insisted that Hermione sleep on the cushions from the sofa so that her silhouette was raised above his.
Those
this part, you guys, it's going to hit us in the feels. Her arm curved to the floor, her fingers inches from Ron's. Harry wondered whether they had fallen asleep holding hands. The idea made him feel strangely lonely.
My Romani heart freaking sang when I read this book the first time. I was like,
it's so yes. sweet. It's something that like Marty and I have done, like falling asleep holding hands. I don't know. And I noted
he
here
too hot to do that, like physically hot.
I'm freezing when I go to bed.
Yeah, but it
you're saying it won't last.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's okay because it doesn't with them either, but it's just sweet.
Yeah, Meg, it's sweet.
Hold her hand. Take her on a date.
I like to put a pillow barrier between us sometimes.
I'd like to not touch you.
Sometimes
or a dog
it'll
barrier.
Sometimes it's like a blanket that I like assume is bunched up. I don't know why I haven't. And then I'm like, is this a heat barrier? And you're like,
yeah.
Yeah. Coke.
Oh my God. But anyways, I feel like he misses Ginny. Like, this is something that it, you would get, like, the pangs of, like, missing your significant other because you're seeing this.
Yeah.
It makes me sad for him.
Ginny.
So I'm thinking about, as I'm reading this, is the fit of gallantry from the 12, what is it, 12 fail-safe, like, ways to charm witches.
Charm a witch. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that Ron truly does love Hermione and wants her to be safe and comfortable. And that's probably number one in his mind, because we know that Ron enjoys his comforts in life. But I do think that he did have her at the forefront of his mind with making sure that she was comfortable in this. So Harry's lost in his thoughts. And honestly, it's kind of crazy to think about. They were, how abruptly their life changed in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Quote, less than 24 hours ago, he had been standing in the sunlight at the entrance of the marquee, waiting to show in wedding guests. It seemed a lifetime away. What was going to happen now? He lay on the floor and he thought of Horcruxes, of the daunting, complex mission Dumbledore had left him. Dumbledore. And now we're like, waking up in more ways than one, right? We have the dawning of that conversation that had to be suppressed down. And we've got to get in our feels now, Mr. Potter, because we have to feel our way through them to understand. His grief is a little bit different in this moment. We had our good conversation with Muriel.
Oh,
my girl!
Future Tiffany.
The future. Oh, God. She's so bad.
You said you want to be heard.
I know. Like, in certain
She's
ways.
Old people goals, you guys. I can't help it. She's old people. If she had a cane, she'd be, bam, a cane. She would. Anyway, she's 107. I would love to live to that age. So he's got that whole conversation. There's accusations that are just hanging in the air. Like the fog that was over Cleveland today.
Truly.
You could not
so
see.
Much.
There were,
so
there's much dementors fog. Everywhere. That could explain this year. And things just feel different. And this writing right here is truly a thing of beauty. Quote, nested in his brain like diseased things, infecting his memories of the wizard he had idolized. As Megan slowly opens a 2-liter of Coke.
Just do it fast.
God. It was so quiet.
Like, let the air out of a balloon.
Nobody
no,
was,
that would be.
Nobody was oh, hearing yeah. it.
No, no. Just take your time.
Yeah. Pour yourself a cup of.
You better watch what you're pouring.
Nobody would have heard this happening if you hadn't brought attention
to it. You're distracting me,
sorry.
Thus distracting the class.
I was trying really hard. I was trying really hard okay. to just go.
Anyways, back to the quote. Could Dumbledore have let such things happen? Had he been like Dudley, content to watch neglect and abuse as long as it did not affect him.
I literally never thought of that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but like, I don't know why. Like, I don't remember reading this passage before and like him actually making those connections with Dudley. Like, Harry making those connections.
Saying,
like, using those
saying
words.
He was
like, watching
abused.
Neglect. And yeah.
Ned,
saying
I
was
neglected,
neglected
and
abused.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that like Harry had actually verbalized that. And I was like, oh.
Wow.
And he's calling yeah. Dudley out.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, but I'm not sure.
Did Harry have some therapy?
I think Dudley was content for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I don't think yeah, I don't think so much later on. Could he have turned his back on a sister who was being imprisoned and hidden?
Oh, I remember reading this for the first time, you know, like at 2 a.m., whatever.
I feel you.
That day. And
yeah.
It was an amazing moment to realize the thing that the fandom had been wondering all this time had made it into the books.
Mm.
You know, Dumbledore, yeah. you let this happen. And finally, Harry's thinking that. that feeling, it's so true to how chilling it feels when we have fears about parents that we no longer have around or people we thought we knew. Because then it makes you wonder about yourself. Was I wrong about them? Is there something wrong with me for having overlooked this about them?
Yeah.
Shouldn't I have known?
And we know that the whole Dumbledore situation with Ariana, to a point, Muriel's story is not what it is.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
I think we discussed previously that, you know, Ariana was kept that way to keep her at home and to keep her safe there rather than to have her taken away to be at St. Mungo's to be God knows what. Things like this. And I had a thought that just went away like a balloon. So that's fun for me. I love that. But it is a one-sided story, right? At this point, Dumbledore does not have any chance to make any corrections. Say, hey, that's not how it was. This is how it was. And I think Harry is very upset at the fact that, like, you had time to be upfront with that information rather than to have me find it out this way. And isn't it always the way, my friends? I feel like as we get older, and Dumbledore can be this parental figure, if you will, as you age, at least in my experience that I've discovered, you find out that your parents are people.
Yeah, it's like the weirdest. It's the weirdest switch.
It is.
Because, like, growing up, obviously this does not go for everybody, but if you grew up in a relatively normal, loving home, you think, my parents, like, are perfect.
Pedestal.
Yeah.
They got it, like, all together.
They know what they're doing. Yep. They always have the answers that you need. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, no faults.
Yeah.
And then you become an adult and they talk to you like you're an adult and you're like, wow, you have a lot of anxiety.
That, and you find out, you find out almost their history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, as you age and you can discuss adult things. But, like, you know, my parents went through blah, blah, blah growing up, and these are the choices that they had to make when I was a kid and I had no idea about. You find out, y'all, your families are crazy, and it's every family. They've all got stuff going on, right? No one is immune to having emotional family baggage.
Life to life.
Yeah.
You mean everybody has to live this thing called life that we are
with
all
no
going
guides,
through?
With no guidebook to boot. So, like... Yeah. It's almost like that. It's like Harry is seeing his parent for the first time. Like, you're not this godlike figure that everybody portrays you to be. Yeah. You've made mistakes. What?
Right.
But these things are so personal to him. It hits hard for him to accept the fact that, like, at this moment, there's too much hurt. There's too much hurt to kind of rationalize it, if you will. He needs to get the feelings out because he, rightfully so, he should be upset. And then on the other turn, would it be nice if Dumbledore told him these connections? Yes. Does he have to? Does anybody have to share personal information like that? Technically, they are in a teacher pupil work type situation.
Right.
True.
But there's a layer of this is also personal. So it's like, it's an onion. Is there one right answer? Probably not. Many people are typing in Discord. I'm so sorry. I know probably people are going to be absolutely disagreeing with me, but at the end of the day, we should accept what people are comfortable with sharing about their personal lives with us.
Yeah.
Not everybody is okay with that. And if we think about how many conversations Dumbledore and Harry have had how close are they really? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that Harry probably feels a lot closer than, I mean, obviously we know Harry feels closer than they actually were. But I don't think that that necessarily tells the full story of, like, Dumbledore's feelings. And, like, yes, we do get backstory on this later, right? Like, yeah. We do learn more about it and, like, how he wanted to give more to Harry and to love Harry more. And it's not that he didn't love Harry, but he was keeping a distance because he knew what he had to do. And that's freaking hard. Like, so... I think that Dumbledore, like, honestly, how much of the this is gonna sound crazy. I'm sorry. My brain is literally, like, all over the place and I can't, like, rein it in.
Say what you gotta say.
Okay. So, like, how much of, like, his family story really matters when it comes to, like, what his end game was with Harry? Hardly any of it, to be completely honest. Yeah, there are certain things that he could have shared that would have helped Harry in his journey. But he also, and we've talked about this a million times, he thought he had more time. And, like, who knows what he would have told Harry had he had even a week longer than he did. Like, a lot of things happened that made Dumbledore only tell Harry as much as he did. And I don't think that, I mean, we know for a fact that this was not Dumbledore's plan to die at that moment in time. At that moment in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was not the plan.
Yeah.
Obviously, Harry doesn't know that there even was a plan. But, you know, it's frustrating to be in Harry's head at this moment.
Yeah. And I think that the reason why he's so hurt is because he craves that parental personal connection. And here we come.
Would you say it's because he's been neglected and abused?
I would say so. And the fact that this person who he puts so much into and trusts, right? Trust Dumbledore, has this family, this familial connection to Godric's Hollow and doesn't share that is crushing
for Harry. Yeah.
He craves this, and I can't even begin to imagine, fictional or not, how that feels. I don't wish that on anyone.
Yeah
to crave that in such a way. And I see it every day with the children I work with, you know, not all of them. But when I have a certain student who will come up to me throughout the day, and we talk about, you have to ask before you touch people, right? I'm trying to teach them that, like, you need to get permission, because some kids don't like to be touched, some grown people don't like to be touched, and just consent, right? And so we always talk about, like, that she needs the physical hug. Mm. And she'll come up to me and she'll whisper, I love you, Mrs. O'Malley. I love you so much. And she needs the hugs.
Mm-hmm.
And kids will usually at this point in the year get into the routine of, can I have a hug? Do you need a hug? Can I give you a hug? Stuff like that. Love that. I'm like, you don't have to ask me. You can just give me one. Just come on. Because she craves it. And Harry craves, he needs a hug. He needs those connections. He needs to feel not so alone. Because he's a one of a kind, guys. He's that chosen one. He has nothing. I mean, nobody else is like him.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, your family grew up in Godric's Hollow? I lived in Godric's Hollow. Your parents are buried there? My parents are buried there.
It's like, have you ever watched Onward? Tiffany, oh my gosh,
so good.
Okay, like, I'm actually not even kidding, and I know that this is probably, like, considered dramatic, a controversial opinion.
Mm-mm.
But
be careful.
A Onward's in my top three.
No! What?
I'm not kidding.
Dude.
I'm not. It's S tier. Yes, Mia. As Mia. It's S tier. Super special.
What's that mean?
It means that it's better than the
what
rest.
What is S tier? And who says that?
It's like superior or something. I don't remember. Mia, what is it you told me the other day? We were chatting about Disney movies, and they said that Lilo and Stitch is an S tier movie.
Mm. Agreed.
I don't know.
I think
Tiffany Stitch
that
is
Tiffany is no longer allowed to come to Disney.
I love Lilo and Stitch, but good Lord, come on! I know you love Stitch. I'm sorry. It's a good movie. I love Elvis.
A lot of people didn't like Onward. That's why I say it's controversial. And I think that
Emperor's New Groove. I agree, Brie.
I think that Onward didn't get the traction it deserved, unfortunately, because of the pandemic. And I think had it been released at another time, it would have been fantastic.
Can say that
however,
about so many things.
I digress. Onward, the basis of the story is Ian and Barley are like the two sons of this family, and their dad died before Ian was born. So like his mom was pregnant and his dad died while she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So he never gets to meet his dad. And they like try to bring him back with magic.
Isn't the legs things?
And he's only legs. Yeah. It's so good.
Where
it's
are we
S-tier.
Going?
It's S tier.
Where is this going?
Where was I going with it? That's great question.
S tier threw you off.
Oh.
But what is that? Oh, what does S tier stand for?
I think it's special.
Special tier?
Yeah. Guys, go watch Onward. I'm not even kidding. It's
That's your
so
homework tonight.
Good.
Go.
It's so good. I'm not even. I probably watched that movie more than any movie lately. That's the one I always go to. Okay.
I think I've seen the beginning of it.
So what were we talking about? We were talking about Harry craving
connections.
Special super
We were talking about Harry craving connections with his past and with his family.
Yes.
And stuff like that.
Familial connections.
That's where I was going.
Yes.
Ian kind of is the same way because he never got to know his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's this scene in the movie where he is getting himself breakfast. And he is the first time he finally fits into his dad's college hoodie.
Am I going to cry right now?
No, not right now.
Oh, gosh.
He finally fits into his dad's college hoodie. It's his 16th birthday. He's like, I'm going to wear it to school today. And all of these things happen and he ends up going to get himself breakfast. He's waiting for his breakfast. And then there is another man and his son waiting for their breakfast. And his dad, this guy's dad, this kid's dad, looks at Ian and sees Lightfoot, his last name, like embroidered. And he's like, oh my gosh, Lightfoot. And he like knew Ian's dad. He went to college with him. So he started like telling him these stories of like his dad in college and how he wore.
Did you just lie to me about
nothing? I'm sorry. How like he always wore these like funky purple socks and he was always just like so sure of himself. And so like all day for Ian's 16th birthday, he tries to be like his dad because of that story that he heard at the beginning of the day. And like, wow. I feel like that is exactly what Harry craved from Dumbledore. Oh my gosh, you lived in Godric's Hollow. That's where I was. That's where I was like born.
Yep.
Oh, you have. I mean, even as sad as it is, like you have family buried in Godric's Hollow. So do I. Like just like that connection there because he's never had that before.
Mm-hmm.
And like all Ian had was Barley and his mom, which like obviously is more than nothing like Harry. But like to like have an outside source be like, oh my gosh, I knew your dad. It's like the same thing with like Harry's relationship with like Lupin, right?
And Sirius telling him stories about James
and like I think that he feels like Dumbledore could have been that too, but he didn't get to.
Yeah,
that was a long roundabout story, but I just like I love that scene in that movie, and it just like very much reminds me of like how Harry's feeling right now.
No, you're right. Movie's so good.
Go watch that movie, all of you, right now. Leave this recording and go watch it. No, but like seriously, within a week.
But yeah.
I want reports back that you've watched it and that you love it as much as me.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, am I going to end up defending Dumbledore? I am.
Come on, Lori. Come to the dark.
Well,
do it.
I'm going to go on a side tangent first.
Do it. Do it.
Bring it.
The way that Harry just doesn't have Dumbledore around to ask anymore. It's not even that Dumbledore should have told him and didn't, because we all know what Dumbledore was doing. He was getting the absolute most out of any time that they had.
Yeah.
You know, trying to race Voldemort to the Horcrux hunt before Voldemort knew. So he was prioritizing correctly.
Yes.
But the problem is that when you love somebody, your relationship doesn't end after they die. You just can't talk to them anymore. So
face to face.
Just cruel, right, though, that you want to know what they could give you. And they can't. It's over, but your feelings for them are not over.
That line is so sad. It's your relationship doesn't end just because they're gone.
It doesn't. It definitely doesn't.
That makes
me
want to cry about Iggy.
And, you know, so he's agonized, but there's nothing he can do about that. And it also reminds me about something. Ouch. It also reminds me about how it feels to be a Harry Potter fan and have agonized questions for this author.
Yeah.
But I used to feel like we were in dialogue with her. Even though, obviously, we could not talk to her.
Right.
But I felt like she was addressing the fandom, or, you know, I felt in tune with the kinds of stuff she was saying. And then for the past 4 years, it felt like she's not in tune with me, but I can't reach her. I can't say what is going on. And I had trusted her. But
it felt like you knew her. And then everything happened.
And I did,
and
I
went, oh, I didn't know you at all.
Was it me? You know, because then there's all this evidence. You know, people say, well, if you look back, you know, there are signs here and there. But there are also signs of her being bigoted in other ways that didn't pan out to become huge like this.
Yeah.
So this one-sidedness, the way that it makes people have to figure things out for yourself, that's a lot of work. It's a big adjustment. It's very unsatisfying. It's painful.
Yeah.
And it does make you question yourself. It also makes you scared of how easy it is to get into the trust of a child. And, you know, and children's literature is that. It's a pact that you agree to when you, as a child or a parent reading a book to a child, you enter into a pact saying, okay, I allow this message, this story into the mind of my growing child.
Yes.
And how children receive stories is different from how adults do. And it'll get you in a place developmentally that doesn't happen when you read as an adult. So, yeah, you've let your defenses down.
And the way you say that, we read this book differently than we did the first, the second, the third.
Oh, yeah.
We read this book differently now than we did in 2017.
Yeah.
2018. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
We're different readers at this point. And that's why when some people ask us, well, what are you going to do after Deathly Hallows? And I'm like, well, we have Cursed Child. We have this. We have Lori. We have your book. We have blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, what do we really want to do?
Again.
We're going to start another reread.
Like,
we're different people.
I totally think about these books so differently now than I did when we started this.
Yeah.
Like, we don't analyze the same way. I feel like we hardly analyzed before compared to, like, how we do now. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just different and, like, not, you know, in a good way.
Yeah.
Just things change.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Also, makes me think about Dumbledore, though, because I don't know how I would have felt about this if I didn't have kids that were around the same age as Harry now. Mm-hmm. But when you're an adult and you're trying to be there for a kid, sometimes telling them too much about yourself is more destructive than telling them too little. Because you're
correct.
If you use them to confide in, and that's the word that Harry is using here, he's like wondering why didn't Dumbledore confide in him. No, when you're the elder taking care of a vulnerable child, you do not make them your confidant.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You deal with those things on your own. Your job is to be the elder. You have to be real. You have to be supportive and appropriate. You do not overstep boundaries to burden them with your own struggles. That screws kids up.
Yeah. Children should know that grown people make mistakes.
And Dumbledore is so not resolved about his own family issues. And he's the one. He's solitary and going through something solitary just as much as Harry is.
Yeah.
You know. And, he has less support than Harry because either it was Grindelwald and he screwed up, or he's just smarter or older than everybody else. And Harry does still have Ron and Hermione.
Yeah.
So for someone in Dumbledore's position, trying not to mess up Harry and to somehow give him enough to survive, to talk to him about the unresolved stuff from the 19th century, it's you can't do that to the 16-year-old that's going out to face Voldemort. So honestly, if he had to err, I'm glad he erred on the side of not telling him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, really, what would Harry have done looking at Dumbledore sobbing in front of him about how he messed up with Ariana? Like, that, I can't even, I don't think anybody would have gotten anything good out of that. Mm-hmm. What I thought about when I read this, and I thought about what Dumbledore had to deal with when trying to love Harry appropriately and yet also be his headmaster.
Yeah.
Is, if you're a parent or an uber parent like Dumbledore, you're a human with shortcomings. Some of your shortcomings could be really bad. It might not be possible to do something the right way. You might have to hurt your loved ones just because of existing. And the shortcomings that humans have, they hurt people, but that's also the place where the best love and healing comes from, too.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I think the not so satisfying but better than nothing solution Harry can have is similar to when he was wondering, you know, was he an abuser? And then he had to go to Remus and Sirius and say, tell me about my father as a human being. And they tell him, you know, we knew him. No, you don't always know everything about everybody, but knowing them and having loved them, that's something real that you can hold on to. And eventually Harry's going to be, he's going to have to try to do that with Dumbledore, you know, to flesh out the real person for himself, whether he can get all the information he needs or not. You know, that's everybody's struggle when you've lost somebody. But that helps. And the other thing that it makes me think about is the way the phrasing is in this about, you know, why didn't Dumbledore tell me? Didn't he love me? Did he never trust me? It's worded like any crisis of faith when somebody is wondering if they can believe in God or if the God that they thought they believed in really exists and really loves them, which I think is a good setup for, you know, a lot of what Harry goes through in the next several months.
We're getting close to Easter. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus is on the cross. That's what that makes me think of. Dumbledore, why have you not taught me these things or told me these things? But you're right, Lori. I mean, I was saying before, children should know that grown people make mistakes, but they don't need to know in depth what those are. You're right.
Well, it's like you were saying about your parents, like, and like I think we can all say that about our parents, but like you didn't know all the struggles they were going through.
Now you can because but you you're an adult. Have.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But you didn't know, and that's a sign of them being parents because they kept it from you because mm-hmm. it didn't need to affect you that way.
Yeah.
Now you can learn about it and like reflect on it and be like, wow, you did some stuff for me. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But
and maybe sometimes it answers some questions that you have.
It can answer some questions.
Well, there's ways you can talk about it though. You can mm-hmm. tell somebody every detail in a way that's makes it clear that it's not their problem or not their fault or that you're dealing with it by yourself or with appropriate support. Or you could tell somebody something in a way that's really not resolved, that's like still really raw to you, and that can catch on people's emotions in a way that can hurt, especially if they're your kid or, you know, somebody who's not in a position to be your confidant.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the things in Dumbledore's past, he was not in a position to be all calm about it.
Not in the way that Michael Gambon says, right?
No.
There's also this struggle that Dumbledore has with, if we think about like Hallows, stop it.
Sorry.
If we think about Hallows and Horcrux, I'm mothering her. She was touching her scarf.
What are you doing?
It's itchy. Sorry.
I just don't want you picking on it because I'm mom. Hallows and Horcruxes and how Dumbledore doesn't want Harry to use this hot-headedness of his to make the wrong choice and to, oh, if I get these Hallows and I'm going to be blah, blah, blah and take it too far. And he puts his struggles onto Harry. And yeah. We know that like that's not right either. So it's just it's just complicated. It's complicated.
Like Avril Lavigne would say.
Why do you gotta go and make things so complicated?
Complicated.
Okay.
She's coming here soon.
So
I know.
All of these thoughts are running through Harry's mind. And he's like, it's a lonely place to be for him right now. And guess what? It gets lonelier. So he can't stand to like do this anymore. He needs a distraction. So he gets up and goes out. And he sees the bedroom where he and Ron had slept the last time that they were there. And the wardrobe was open. The bedclothes had been ripped back. And it was disturbed, just like the troll leg was. Quote, somebody had searched the house since the order had left. Snape? Or perhaps Mundungus, who had pilfered plenty from this house both before and after Sirius had died? Harry's gaze wandered. Did I say that?
Hurry!
Harry's gaze wandered to the portrait that sometimes contained Phineas Nigellus Black, Sirius's great-great-grandfather, but it was empty, showing nothing but a stretch of muddy backdrop. Phineas Nigellus was evidently spending the night in the headmaster's study at Hogwarts. And I said, Merlin's pants! Was he telling Snape this very second? Who was at Grimmauld Place?
Merlin's pants.
I mean, he could have.
I love this hint. Phineas Nigellus Black basically has the same personality as Snape. He has this snide, contrary personality, and I love the mention of the headmaster's study so that as a reader, you get this hint in the back of your head. Oh, he can be a conduit. Huh.
Mm.
You know, you're just checking this off as you're walking with Harry through all the mess.
Yeah. I mean, and I love that this, you know, comes back up in a little bit, right?
Yeah.
When they're camping.
I guess I'm not surprised, so I don't know. But like Harry, right, like literally in his brain says, oh, he's at Hogwarts. Like, wouldn't you think like, oh, that means that
not Harry
he
right
can
now.
Know that we're here and like tell whoever is I mean, I guess it's summer Snape. Still
it
right now,
Snape.
But like,
they're not
know.
Going anywhere this year. Nobody's going home. It's a working summer.
It just made me laugh. I was like, oh, Harry, not thinking about anything as per usual.
But honestly, same. I wouldn't have.
I know. I'd it's been like, especially in the moment, he's hey, focused Phineas. On, you know, what distraction he wants.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So Harry continues on and he reaches the topmost landing and he finds Sirius's bedroom. His wand is aloft. And he saw that the room was pretty spacious and must have at some point been quite handsome.
Ouch. That writing is so beautiful. The way that describing the room just shows the waste of what was supposed to be a full life for Sirius.
Yeah. And the waste of him himself. I mean, Harry always notes in pictures looking back at Sirius how handsome he used to be. Not so gaunt, right? So, quote, there was a large bed with a carved wooden headboard, a tall window obscured by long velvet curtains, and a chandelier thickly coated in dust with candle stubs still resting in its sockets. Oh my god. Solid wax hanging in frost-like drips. Those were once lit in this room. A fine film of dust covered the pictures on the walls and the bed's headboard. A spider's web stretched between the chandelier and the top of the large wooden wardrobe. And as Harry moved deeper into the room, he heard a scurrying of disturbed mice.
Leave the mice alone, Harry.
Yeah. This is a room frozen in time.
It makes me sad.
Yeah. It does. It's like Lori, it's a room that shows the promise of what could have been. Ouch. A room of potential. Because if there was anybody that was going to change the name of the Black family in a positive, progressive direction, it would have been him.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been R.A.B., but
they could have worked together.
You know.
Like, if things had, like, imagine if Sirius had learned what Regulus did and, like, what sort of friendship that could have built for them.
And I hope that in whatever form of the afterlife that they have, that they're able to have a
friendship.
They've got to reconnect.
Yeah.
And be like, the Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
You did that? You did that? Yeah. You know?
Okay. We're approaching an hour.
Okay.
So, I think that we are going to do a couple Discord discussions, do a couple lightning bolts, and wrap this episode up and start the next one.
Cool.
Just jam-packed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what flavor of jam?
So, raspberry. Oh, raspberry is the best.
I'm stuck between those two.
What did you say?
I said strawberry.
I actually love grape jam.
Not jelly.
Preserves. Grape is good, but it's on the low end of the jellies.
I mean, jam. I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich today with grape jam, and it was pretty bomb. Okay, so some Discord discussions. Morgan from Gryffindor posted, the beginning of this book is all focused on stripping away any remaining childhood innocence for Harry. First Hedwig, then his homes, Hogwarts and the Burrow, and then Dumbledore. All in order for him to transform into the young man that he has to be to face Voldemort at the end of this book. I just...
Good gosh, Morgan.
Yeah.
Feels.
Also, not that...
Absolutely feels.
Privet Drive was home in any sense of the word, but he also had to call it home.
Right.
So yeah. That's another one, too.
I mean, he even reflects on the cupboard space.
Yeah. Ugh.
And notes. Yeah. Think about how small I was, remembering the spiders that were adorned there. Ugh. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was an emotion... That was his safe space within... Hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Sad.
Truly.
Egmily.
Good.
Number two. From Ravenclaw. Says, so I've been listening to Lori's podcast.
Woo!
Thank you.
And she makes a very convincing argument on what Harry wants and values most is his story to be told because it was kept from him, like from the Dursleys, from the Wizarding World until he turned 11, and from Dumbledore and the Order. And I think that this bothers Harry so much now because he can't tell what is actually Dumbledore's story.
Yeah, he's all kinds of confused. He's got Muriel in his ear. He's got Doge in his other ear. He's got his own thoughts about Dumbledore.
He's got what Dumbledore did tell him.
He's got two extremes of a story. I mean, we always say there's two sides of a story, but when
that he heard less than a day ago.
Right. And when you're not there to defend even your side, now we've got a million because you're a public figure. So everybody thinks they know your story. Everybody thinks that they know you, when in fact, Doge has this PG/G-rated version of Dumbledore. Muriel's got whatever's on TMZ. And where's what's going on and the truth behind things? And even Dumbledore is going to have his own version of a story, and poor Ariana can't say otherwise.
Yeah.
And, you know, Aberforth is going to have his version of how he sees things. And I don't know. It's just, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. And, you know, I really do wish that Dumbledore would have been able to at least give harmless backstory information.
I know.
You know? Because Harry knows when he prods too far. Oh, he knew that from he knew from asking what he saw in the mirror of Erised, and he notes it. That's a very personal question. And at 11, he says this.
Yeah.
Even if Dumbledore would have said, "I grew up in Godric's Hollow," I feel like Harry could have had enough emotional intelligence to tell when to stop asking questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially as he's gotten older. He's gotten, like, really good. He's gotten better at reading the room.
And he's very...
Are we sure?
No, yeah.
He's like...
I didn't say great. I said better.
He would be okay with Dumbledore being like, right now is not the time for that story. Because, like you said, what are we doing? We're running against the clock. And since we've got a sick hand... We've got a bigger clock here. We had Voldemort's clock of when are you actually going to find out that I'm destroying these? Are you going to check on them? Do you do a yearly check? Is this like an appointment that you have?
The Horcrux appointment.
Who knows? Because we don't know that. And then now I'm actively dying from this poison in my body. That's another clock. Two different clocks. Very dangerous, both of them. Both killers. We need... to get you the information that you need to get. So don't be too hard on Dumbledore. All right, do we have any more?
One more.
Okay.
Morgan, again, from Gryffindor. I read this and I just want to say thank you before I read it, because I know that sometimes I, and I think all of us, can talk down about our past selves at times. And she corrected us. So hold on. This was because I said something. I think y'all analyzed things before, but it was just different. Oh. It was more focused on, like, fandom theory and lore, and as you've grown, you focus more on, like, the social and societal context.
That's true.
Not saying it's a bad thing, it's just that it's different. And don't undercut your past selves.
Okay. Okay.
I know.
Rightfully so.
Thank you.
We all need a reminder to talk nicer to ourselves.
Yeah.
I do tell people, I had somebody at work just start listening, and... I was like, we get better. And she's like, I loved it.
I say that all the time. I'm like, when but we get better. Like,
but people like it at first. So
the first episode. And they're like, no, it's good. I'm like,
I think it's cringy because of it's just us.
Right.
You know?
Right. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. A couple lightning bolt questions and then we will officially wrap up.
Kay.
Sam, this is a fun one. What bedroom would you have picked in the Black House?
The one Wahlberga. With no
Wahlberga.
I bet she had a nice room.
That is a California king.
Yeah,
so and you know it's clean because it's probably the only room creature cleaned.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, he doesn't care about Sirius's room.
Clearly that's a good answer. Does. What you were like gonna say something?
I was gonna say whichever room is the least infested with things.
None.
Probably Wahlberga.
None.
Sorry.
I know. I said the least infested.
Probably the kitchen.
I'll sleep in the kitchen. Isn't there, like, a nice fireplace in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can call your other friends.
Yeah. Tell them they're not here.
Hey, what you doing? I'm sleeping on a table.
They're not coming back from the nursery.
That's what Creature did.
Oh, the God. The funny thing is, they probably found the best spot to sleep. We're here criticizing them.
I know.
We would have ended up with the same.
Yeah.
Lori, where are you sleeping?
I'm sleeping where they found. I don't trust that house.
The drawing room.
It all sounds terrible.
It really does. Also, like, on the floor when there's clearly mice there. I have nothing against mice, but I don't want them skittering on me while I'm trying to sleep.
You have a pet rat?
Yeah, I also had a pet mouse. I don't want
mice
I don't know skittering on me when I'm sleeping.
Yeah, it's different. Pet mice are clean.
I don't know you.
You lie, first of all.
I would pet a pet mouse, but I wouldn't pet a random mouse. Just saying.
All right.
Like if I found a rat on the road, I wouldn't be snuggling it like I did with Linguini.
I don't know what you do, okay?
I wouldn't. Okay, last question.
Where are you sleeping?
Wahlberga. I liked that answer. I'm agreeing with you.
We can sleep together.
Yeah. Okay. It's a California king, after all.
Regulus, I know that she'll put a pillow barrier between us.
Yeah. I will.
Regulus's room wouldn't be bad either because I'm sure that was just as clean
as
Wahlberga's.
That's
no,
true. No,
I think, didn't she make it not be touched?
Yeah. It was locked.
And Alohomora opened it.
Oh my God.
So locked.
It's a foolproof plan.
I really like this question. This is from Marguerite. Do you think Harry's adult viewing of Dumbledore in this chapter was meant for the audience to understand the complexities of who Dumbledore was?
Oh, gosh.
I think to a point,
is
yeah.
this, what year did this come out? 2007?
No.
Yeah.
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 There's a copyright on it.
yeah, it should be 07.
I think it's 7. 2007, Tiffany? Or right now? Because I feel like we just, I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
I
you
think,
guys can answer too.
I
no,
think
it's
it,
all you.
It's meant to make it, to express how it feels when you've lost somebody that is your guide, was your guide, and now you're unguided.
I think we're supposed to feel the hurt that Harry does because Dumbledore lied to us too.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore kept stuff from us, too, as the reader, because we are Harry. I think we're supposed to be angry and upset and to question complexities, yes. But also, I think that we... I think that the author is like Rita Skeeter in this moment. We've got to put him on blast and tear him down. But then we have to be forgiving like Harry and heal at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what we're meant to go through.
I think we have to go through all of these hills and valleys.
Yeah.
Oh, bookmark.
I'm sorry.
It's a cute picture of Alana.
Yeah, give me that. I got ranch in front of me. I can't reach it. Ranch. Baby Louie.
We got a bingo.
I know. You did.
Exceptional, Marguerite. Egg number 4. Gryffindor. Bingo.
Good job.
If you'd like to follow us on the social meds, Katie and I are at the Petrus Family on Instagram and TikTok. Tiff's at tiffswish_flick on Instagram and TikTok. Lori, do you want to plug that podcast, please?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm so excited. I have a new podcast.
Yeah.
It's called Harry Potter After 2020 with Lori Kim and JC. And it is a chapter reread podcast. And let's see, we're partway through the second book right now.
Nice.
And it's all about how rereading every time changes the story because we are different. Times are different and we are different. And because the story has words that are exactly the same, no matter how much we change, that's a really good aid to memory and to measuring our own changes.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my God. I should have said you can find it at hpafter2020.com.
All good.
Okay.
Still recorded.
Very important.
Great. It's there. Don't fret.
So just so everybody knows, this is just episode 328, part 1.
Yes.
Episode 328, part 2, will end with the normal fan story.
Yep.
And the normal stuff.
All right, Tiff.
Round it out.
Yeah, close it out.
Lori, this is for your new podcast, okay? Yeah. We're dedicating it to HP After 2020. Go listen. Listen, you guys. I've said this a number of times. Subscribe and download. Leave reviews. Leave that 5-star rating.
Helps so much.
Please, for us, for Lori, downloads give us those real numbers so we know, you know, what we're doing, where we're at. So download, subscribe, download. Please do that for your podcast that you listen to. All right, Lori, thank you. And just stay right there because we're not done. All right. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Talking to my boys. You've reached and grabbed Figment's paw thinking it was my hand.
I have held Figment's hand several times.
That's sweet.
Like held it for a while.
I meant it was her. I thought it was her hand.
She thought it was my hand.
I went and like you wouldn't believe.
Do you feel like a stuffed animal?
I guess.
I was like, that's not Meg. So if you're on a mobile and you want to see us all.
A mobile.
Did I say that?
Yeah. You said mobile. You said mobile. But
that's just like
who
funny.
Says that?
Cell phone. You're on your phone. Even like cell phone's kind of weird. Like you just say phone.
You can catch me on my mobile.
Can I have your telephone number?
Whatever.
Uh-huh.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save